Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by WitchSchool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
And hello, everyone. This is Samara Luna, and this is the Tree of Life Hour here on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network. The Tree of Life Hour is brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people here in the Louisville, Kentucky area. They're trying to create space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies, and our show is all about the pagan community, things we think the pagan community should know or be talking about. So tonight, Ravenfire is not on, but I have a frequent guest on our show, Amy Denlow, is here. Say hi, Amy.
Hello.
And she is going to be speaking about Frigg and the Red Threads of Fate. Now, this is a workshop you do, correct?
Yes.
And I'm going to let
so
you
far,
take
it
away
it
and
twice.
Tell us a little bit about it. What?
Okay. I was going to say, so far I've been able to do this twice as an in-person workshop. And whenever I started out, I have a visual and physical helper, which is Red Yarn. And I have the audience sit in a circle, semicircle or whatever, and I go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and knot up this yarn. And then I stand in front of everybody and I tug on different parts of the string. And I ask the audience, said, did you feel it? And they say, yeah. And then I ask the person who they're connected to, did you feel that? Yeah. And that's how I open up my workshop on how everything's connected.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you know what? Actually, let's start somewhere else. For people that haven't really listened to the show or listened to the show when you've been on before, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your background.
Background. I've been a heathen for over 10 years. I'm the owner-operator of Beloved Viking Vinyl. I'm the steward for Kentucky and the Troads, chair of the Heathen Artist Initiative, stay-at-home mom of three kids, current resident of
Kentucky.
I
guess the rest of your background is covered by the workshop, so we won't go into that. Yeah, well, for the intro. So, all right, well, why don't you take it away? And I'll interrupt you when I have questions.
Okay. So I'm just going to read my workshop. This is the first time I've actually just read it to somebody, like a person-on-person kind of time. So bear with me if it's a little odd. And yes, please do ask questions. Here goes. I've had an experience with All Mother Frigg. My first bloat that I led was to her. Before this date, my patron, or rather the one god that I seemed to want to find more about, admired, and strived to live like, was Tyr. As I led my first bloat, though, Frigg looked at me and said, oh, you poor thing, come here, you belong to me. And I was completely drained from energy after that bloat. However, I studied more and learned more about Allmother and how she was the right choice for me to follow. I never stopped learning about or following the god Tyr, but Frigg took precedence. Any questions so far?
Do you go into who Tyr and Frigg are at all?
I do go into who Frigg is. Tyr is mostly known for his story of how he got his hand bit off by Fenrir. And he's very much a war god, god of justice, nobility, honor, that kind of line of thinking.
Okay.
All right, so here's a little backstory. Back in September on the 30th in 2013, I brought my family to a huge regional thing. Capital T, H-I-N-G, thing is in like all thing, kind of where all the tribes would gather and talk about the laws and everything that was going on in the different tribes. It was called Lightning Across the Plains. This event was held in the last weekend of September every year for a while. I was able to attend workshops, sell items out of my booth, and visit with, as well as meet many great heathens. One particular moment that I encountered changed my life forever. I sat with hundreds of gathered heathens from all across the country. We sat in a large circle around the fire, and those who felt like some who were able to grab the chieftain's attention walked to the center where the fire crackled and spoke what was on their minds. One woman stood among hundreds of men, women, and children of varying ages, and her words hit me hard. She spoke about a miscarriage she had. She spoke about the importance of grieving for this child, as indeed a lost child. Her story touched me because I have had two miscarriages. 3 years later, well, it's much later now, but when I wrote this, it was 3 years later, and seeing how heathen reviewed, reflected, and treated women in general disgusted me. How can women have such small voices? Or rather, how do men who love and care for women in groups, both physical and online, speak over and talk down to women? Our culture is one of more than central deity that we worship. We have so many gods, goddesses, spirits in masculine and feminine nature, as well as those who are sexless. Any more questions? I'll give a break at every end of the paragraph.
No, I'm just listening myself.
Okay. So here's where it gets weird. Seemingly unrelated, I watched a video about mushrooms. Just those kinds. It was an open panel on YouTube that I found with two men and one Native American woman, Patsy Cook, founding Aboriginal midwife of the Six Nations Birthing Center in the province of Ontario. In this video, I watched and learned about the history and need for spiritual journeys with Native medicine. I learned something about women. Patsy was also a medicine woman. She was a midwife. And her people's land, they knew her and still speak about how great of a medicine woman she is. She told a story of how a woman, her patient, came to her with her young daughter who was expecting. Patsy had seen the patient spotting and until then had not seen a regular doctor. While the midwife was not happy about that, being the health of the mother and the child, she still saw them. She did tests and found no heartbeat. So after confirming that the child was dead, they spoke to the family about what to do next. Her description of how this came to be sent chills through my body, filled my eyes with tears. It was so beautiful and sad, but it was an experience that allowed the family to properly deal with the death of their unborn child, their baby girl. I strongly urge that you watch at least the part of the video that I linked to you about 40 minutes in. The host asks Patsy and the guest a question, and her answer is what I have mentioned above.
And just so everybody knows, I'm going to put the video in comments for the show.
Yeah. Still to this moment, I'll get misty-eyed at her speech. She is truly an amazing lady and may one day write verbatim what she said in that video, if I get permissions. So now everybody's asking, what does Lightning Across the Native American woman have to deal with any kind of importance in heathenry or the red strings of fate? I believe everything happens for a reason. The norms are real, so is Frigg. The web of weird is spun for and against our will. It is spun in a way that mortals are sent spinning within their own heads, trying to figure out all the connections, something even Odin himself could not figure out. That's why he sacrificed an eye to the well, where the three women sat. He married Frigg, who knows all, but tells none. lies that she tells no one if she knows all. I have been gifted long ago to see how events may come to be through watching, listening, and experiencing. I have told a choice few that I am able to see the, quote, red strings of fate. And no, it's not physical strings I see. It's a kenning for the events that I can see where they will lead. If our heathen women do not understand the importance of their lives, their bodies, their duties, then we will be living in patriarchy forever, where the goddesses will seem like only servants for their lords, the gods. Does it sound like a bit of a feminazi? It seems that way. Sounds that way. It must be what I'm preaching. But far from it. I do not believe that women or goddesses are greater than men or gods. It's just our time to step out of the timid shadows and accept that women are great things. We are amazing creatures, capable of so many things. And if you only look to lore, myths, and watch with your eyes, you too can open up to how this can become. I used to think that gender did not matter. Not at all. Didn't matter if you were a man, woman, genderless. Rather, we should all treat each other as genderless. The story of lightning across the plains that I spoke about was the first time that I saw a need to gather and talk. Women do not know the rites of passage. Women do not know what to do for our young girls going through their first blood. They do not know what to do for partners whom they love. They do not know what to do for the crone stage of their lives. Rites and rituals were so beautiful and did not wait until the weekend, till the crops were in, till the storm had passed, until finances were available. True and important moments for women should happen as the body changes, not the life around them. What is having menopause like? Well, you can ask a doctor, sure. If he's male, he has no idea what it truly is like. He can't. He is incapable of knowing what it is like to be female. As such, male members of heathenry do not understand what it is like to be a woman in heathenry. What truly scares me is that until 2013, I did not understand what it meant to be a woman in heathenry either. Acknowledging that a problem exists, the first way to right the problem. Between the lightning across the plains event and my listening to the midwife, I learned that it is okay to mourn for a lost child. I learned what it is to find love, a true love, not just having a partner in life, someone to have by my side as I went through similar experiences, like having a roommate. No, I found love. I went to the Pagan Unity Festival in Tennessee, my first ever general pagan event. And without the assistance of drugs or alcohol, I was able to shook seed for the first time. Now, for anyone not knowing what seething means, it literally translates to shaking, the body shaking, and it is associated with Freya and magic works of magic.
I'm sorry, are you saying, can you spell it for people?
Yeah. Well, I spelled shook S-H-O-O-K, and I spelled seed S-E-E-T-H-E-D. I'm not sure if that's the proper spelling. But for the first time I'd done that, something I had no previous experience with, and I did it. I saw gods and goddesses, and they saw me, and I'm taking not only my experiences into this workshop, but also some of the information I've learned and the sources they came from, so that knowledge on this subject may help in future generations learn and know it's all right to have a gender. It's okay to be a woman. And women in heathenry are important. One source, the Lady of the Labyrinth on YouTube, has many videos available with historical, mythological, and lore-based ideologies. Here in my workshop presentation, I have her bio written out. when she was born, a history of philosophy at the University of Oslo. She lived in England and got her bachelor's in visual arts at Camberwell College of Arts. Lived in Oakland, California, Pia, Mexico, studied privately for spring university exams in Oslo on the subject of history and religion. Graduated with Old Norse philosophy. She wrote The Maiden with the Mead, a goddess of initiation rituals in Old Norse myths. A master dissertation at the Cultural Department, University of Oslo, Norway. Lived in Portugal, wrote the first manuscript that would later lead to The Seeds of Yggdrasil, her book. Created Earth Mythic Library at YouTube with the username Lady of the Labyrinth, and began the Hidden Knowledge in Old Norse Myth series, which I absolutely love. If any woman out there wants to learn more, or men, about the female side of things or intellectual sides of things, I really suggest watching those videos. She also, in 2013, published Seeds of Yggdrasil, published her first two books in the Balder Honer series about the life of Osberg I, Hammer of Greatness, Book 2, My Enemy's Head. And lastly, that I have here, Book 3, The Helrune's Claim, which was due in 2015. That's what I have down for her bio so far. This workshop is ever changing and I need to update it. One video she has on her YouTube account is video part 9, The Great Goddess, Hidden Knowledge in Old Norse Myths. She talks about Freyja and the Mead Maiden. Her controversial talk on how Freyja, quote, the lady, is culturally known in modern days as the Lady of Love and Beauty. Everybody knows Freyja's love and beauty. So much that she is known as the goddess of love and beauty. However, her studies, Maria's studies, have found this lacking in historical information to back that up. Maria says the original sources she has never heard a passage where it says Freyja is this sort of goddess. She has found where Freyja was described as cunning, wise, crafty, and large. She goes on to quote Snorri Sturluson, Freyja is the most formidable and most powerful of the goddesses, end quote. She also continues with how beautiful the hull that was impenetrable she is, continuous search of her husband Ulger, whose name means poetry or spirit. So she is constantly searching for poetry or spirit. Disguises she wore, new names and shapes wherever she went. She loved to meet people and teach about her art of witchcraft, the art of theater, similar to shamanism. She chose who died on the battlefield and received the dead warriors and offered half of them to Odin. Maria tells of how Thor lost his Mjolnir to a giant, and he asked Freyja to marry the giant so that he may have his Mjolnir back. Freyja got so angry that she supposedly made the whole earth shake. I would have too. It is quoted in the Eddas that she has many lovers, but is that really enough to consider her the goddess of love? What about her brother, whose statues erected all over Europe with his phallic symbology, also rituals to Frey's honor were in the bedroom? Maria then asks, why is it that Frey isn't called the god of love? What about Thor, with his Mjolnir used to seal a marriage contract? The hammer had the power to restore life even. So why is he not the god of love, marriage, and fertility? What about Odin? He traveled far and wide, and wherever he went, he seemed to have knocked someone up. Countless are the stories of seduction for Odin. Why isn't Odin the god of love? Maria speaks that the reason they are not called the gods of love is because of patriarchy. Modern scholars do not note that Freyja is associated with the death and witchcraft. Two lines from the Edda are taken as, quote, proof of her as a love goddess. And Hynjald, or the Lay of Hynla, wild with passion for her husband Oder, end quote. Heidrun, she is called, which is meant as an insult in this instance, because Heidrun is a goat who possesses the sacred mead that gives immortality and regeneration to the Unhyriar, warriors of Valhalla. Heidrun's name means bride secret. So Maria says, this accusation of Freyja is actually a description of Freya's function as a giver of sacred knowledge in the afterlife. Another reason I love Maria's videos is because her first language was Norse. So she, with her studies, has learned the original meanings of the names within the lore. Without knowing the true meaning behind the names, I find it easier to understand the story's intentions. The second line mentioned by Maria is in the Lokasenna, Loki's Flighting, in which Loki plays a part of an ignorant person who takes the myths of gods and goddesses too literally. Loki accuses all the gods of being unmanly and all the goddesses of being promiscuous. All the things Loki says are true, but the whole poem is about how he does not understand the real meaning of the myths, and it ends badly for Loki. He accuses Freyja of having all the elves and all the gods as lovers, and that part is true, but to this, Freya's father, Njord, remarks, the big deal. He realizes that it's her own damn business and didn't have anything to do with her worth or her value or her honor. Maria made an important note about that particular lore. The Hall of Aegir is the cosmic ocean from which the universe was born. Elves were metaphors for the souls, and those present in the halls are the elves and the gods that had managed to achieve immortality. That means they have all undergone an initiation over which Freyja preceded, and they have faced death without fear. They have gone into the embrace of the goddess and obtained the right to receive her apples of regeneration, which I believe Maria might have gotten confused with Idun. Or maybe she perceived Idun and Freyja is the same. All over the poetic Edda, Maria continues, the maiden of offerings, precious mead, is found. The mead of memory, the mead of poetry, the mead that was precious and ancient and made from the substance of the world tree. The mead that would renew your life. Mead given only to those who went into death without fear, who had impenetrable walls. The maiden with the mead was always there, with a different name and a different shape, but she was always the same bright, shining maiden, hidden deep within the darkest pits of hell. To reach her, gods and heroes sought visions, sacrificed, or went through horrendous trials, moved into the underworld and faced their deepest fear, and reached her only when they remembered themselves and who they really were. A good and personal friend to myself, Robert Schreuder, sorry if I've messed up your name, Robert, helped me with my research. Erglawe expands as we all share all personal knowledge and lore that we might find helpful to future studies in the Pennsylvania Dutch heathen way called Erglawe. Brachtree in Dutch is a system of American folk religion and magic associated with Pennsylvania Dutch, also known as Hextree witchcraft. Both are related to the tradition of Erglawe. And upon asking about Frigg, a Norse goddess compared to the more Germanic Frau Hall, though some argue that they are the separate or the same, I was able to learn more. Robert suggested reading Grimm Teutonic Mythology, pages 229 through 308, as well as the Lombard myths. And Rachel, I've given you a link to that, or at least I should have. If I didn't, I'll give you a link after the break.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, I'm having trouble putting the links in the description. So check out the Tree of Life Facebook page, and I will post them there. And that's Tree of Life, or that's facebook.com/Tree of Life, Louky. Sorry, go on.
Oh, that's right. Thank you for posting the link. Robert has the following sex. In Dutch lore, we have something of her via Baratri and Hextri. The primary names associated with her are translated to Hearth Goddess, Lady of the Hearth, and Mother of Mothers. The name Frigg, pronounced with the Dutch usage of the double G, which is more of like a hard Y, did come up in the same context, but other names were more common. The Frigg had actually turned up as well, although I'm not sure how long it has been used. Robert continued to say, I cannot stress enough that everything in Baratri, and thence also in Erglawe, is about balance. This includes the balance between genders historically, which would now be extended to a balance among genders. While the goddesses are particularly active within Erglawe awareness, the role of the gods is in no way diminished either. From the Erglawe perspective, Frigg should never be underestimated. The Hearth Goddess is a powerhouse. Let's face it, stability in the home is critical. Instability and lack of security in the home impacts every aspect of one's life. Without a place to lay our heads, other concerns in our life become far more difficult to keep a handle on. Of course, while she does seem to be particularly concerned with the home and hearth, she is not limited to that role. Something interesting that Robert brought up was, in Erglawe, the deity most closely associated with Groundhog Day is Frigg. Even among Christian brothers, the observance is a time to honor feminine creative energies, motherhood, the beginning of emergence from the deep freeze of winter, which also allows people to begin to move from the hearth to the garden, etc. And quite a few Christian brochures referred to this time being related to the, quote, helpful entity of the Lady of the Hearth, with some going as far as, say, the Hearth Goddess. And then I have another link to the Erglawe blogspot.com/search?Q=Frigg. In Erglawe, Groundhog's Day is the beginning of a 12-day observance called, and my Dutch is horrible. I am so sorry for the way I'm going to pronounce this. It's shooting, or emergence, the day of the celebration of feminine creative energies. Also akin to Frigg is the cleaning of the hearth. On this day, we are to clean out our hearths, or fireplaces, or candle holders, or anything else that burns fire, most particularly for heat, but since many folks don't have fireplaces anymore, adjusting with candles keeps with the spirit of the tradition. The fire is to be rekindled with birch, also sacred to Frigg. The rune Mercano is featured in conjunction with the birch. And then, in my last paragraph, here I'll quote Robert one last time from his blogspot link. It is important to note that no one can be sure that any one heathen tradition has all of the answers. The mystery of life is one of the greatest gifts of existence, and having all of the right answers would render that gift meaningless. Therefore, adherence to other heathen paths are urged not to look at our viewpoint as a statement that their understanding is wrong. This is merely a presentation of several, but not all, features of Erglawe that originate in our cultural mindset. And that's all that I have written down. But again, if I could show you what I do with the red yarn, leading it from person to person and letting everyone feel as I tug on different strings, they become to get a sense of how everything's connected. And knowing how everything is connected is called seeing the red strings of fate.
Okay. Well, it is time for us to take a quick break, so we can talk about it a little bit more when we come back. So I'm going to play music by Celia or Kelia. I always screw her name up. I don't know why. I don't know why I can't remember how to say her name. She even told me one time that it's the Freya chant. And this is the radio version. So here she is.
Goddess of love and beauty, Freya, 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 goddess of lust and fertility, goddess of war and goddess of death, goddess of gold and
Freya. Hi, this is Raven Fire Doll with the Tree of Life Hour. I know a lot of you out there listen to our show in the archives. And have you ever thought when you were listening in the archives, man, I wish I was able to call in and talk to them while they had a guest on or they were talking about something? Well, now here's your chance. This is especially for you, our archive listeners. If you want to ever add to our conversation, please feel free to dial us on our listener voicemail line. That number is area code 502-276-5665. Tell us your name. Tell us where you're from. Leave your message in your lovely, lovely voice, and we will be more than happy to play it on an upcoming episode of the Tree of Life Hour. We love our listeners, and we thank y'all very much for listening to us.
All right, and we are back, and this is Samara Luna, and with me tonight is Amy Dunlow, and she's been discussing a workshop that she does called Frigg and the Red Strings of Fate, and I do want to say, someone just pointed out to me, apparently chat's not working that great right now because it's not working for me. It just keeps spinning, so I'm on a different computer than I usually am, and apparently it doesn't like Flash. But Amy, we can say hi to Loki. He's in chat.
Hello.
So
he's like my brother.
He's everyone's big brother or little brother or however you want to say it. Can you possibly go into a little bit more detail about what the red strings actually are?
It's a kenning for our fate, our weird, how life played out and how life's playing right now and how life will be played in the future. The Norns are said to weave the red strings of fate. And Frigg is also known to be a spinner of fate as well. Whenever you can look at the past, because there's three different times, past, present, and future. Whenever you can look at the past and see what's happening today, if you're able to, not like really, but in my way of vocalizing it, see the red strings of fate, you'll be able to tell what's going to happen in the future or what possibilities are, could become from what knowledge you have gained.
Interesting. Because it was kind of reminding me, until you said you're talking about future and stuff, it was also reminding me of how some people talk about how you have the strings from your chakra, the ribbons from your chakra attaching you to other people. And sometimes people have to break those attachments. And that's just what popped in my head when you first started talking about it. But of course, now it's something completely different.
Yeah, it took me years of studying, learning. I found out that my mother actually has this ability as well. She just never had a way to put it into a word. She'd be able to.
Oh, really? And your mom's not pagan, is she?
No, she's agnostic.
Interesting.
I was raised Christian Baptist, and even then, I would ask my mom these questions that were very pagan in nature. I'd say, so all these miracles that Jesus did, they're like magic, right? And that's like me at 7 asking these questions. And I think that's why my mom's always been chill with whatever belief system I follow. And I've been lucky. Both of my parents are just like, hey, you're doing good. That's all that matters.
So were you, right, was it Southern Baptist or just Baptist?
Just regular Baptist, not Southern. I don't even
see, me
know
too.
I was
like raised regular Baptist.
Special flavor.
And I've got to admit that being regular Baptist actually wasn't that bad, at least with my church.
Yeah, like you
were pretty
you
open.
Listen to someone preach, then you go eat. There was always food.
Good conversation.
Pentecostal. Well, there was never good conversations for me. I I remember doing art for the church. Like, one of the best things that I drew in colored crayons was a precious moment quote, because they were Christian, and my church absolutely loved that. But it just, I don't know, it's just, I think it was because I was bullied that I stopped going to church, and I was just like, eh, that's not for me. And my mom wasn't even the one taking me there. She didn't make me go to church. I just did it to find out what it was like, I think. And I don't know, just through knowing what I knew, I decided, you know, I tried Baptist, I tried Pentecostal, I tried Wiccan and eclectic pagan, and it wasn't until I was going through an atheist period, which I describe as the worst 3 months of my life, because it's like finding out that Santa wasn't real as a kid, you know, it's kind of broke me in a way. But then that's when I found heathenry, and everything seemed to fit so well in how
well,
I
still believe. You went from believing in nothing, from deciding you don't believe in God at all and believing in nothing, to believing in, like, all these deities.
Well, it wasn't straight nothing. I just did not believe in a God. Like, the Christian God was dead to me. And even the path of Wicca was not for me. It just all did not make sense. And whenever, and I might catch some flack for this. I might not, I don't know. But whenever I read Mark Stinson's books and read his description on how luck worked, because I had some friends at the time who were just getting into heathenry, and I decided to read their books, I found out how he said luck worked, and luck and fate, like, throughout all my life, had always been something that I believed was real. Things happened for a reason, even if they really freaking sucked. It was something that you would learn from. And whenever I found out the heathen point of view about luck and how it worked, I was like, hey, this might be something for me. So I dug into it more, and I think every heathen that's ever spoken on a podcast describing what heathenry is the religion with homework.
I remember the first time I found out, and I wasn't introduced to it as Oster, I was introduced to it as heathenry, was the, do you remember Wicked podcast?
No. I didn't get into podcasts until probably like 5 years ago.
This was probably, oh my gosh, it's probably been 15 years. And they tried to bring it back for a little bit, like they did a couple of shows. But they were like the podcast out, Storm and Sorsha, that was their name. And they had, I can't remember who was on now, but they had someone on that was discussing heathenry. And I remember, and they're like, you know, it's Reconstructionism. We go by the books. And, I mean, I just I mean, I know it's, heathenry isn't for me, but I just thought it was so interesting. And I found out about, like, 15 years ago. And I remember I even brought it up to a couple of people locally, and they had no idea what I was talking about. Of course, that could be because they knew it by the term Ossetru, but I had been introduced to it by the term heathen.
Right. And for anyone not very knowledgeable of the heathen path, Ossetru is one aspect of heathenry. If you think of it in a Christian term, you have your Catholics, your Baptists, your Pentecostals. You got all these different flavors of Christianity, and the umbrella term being Christianity. The umbrella term for us is heathenry. And there's Ossetru, Ropetru, Vanetru, and then there's just basic heathens.
Okay, I just learned something new, and I've got two friends that are heathens. I have a co-host that's heathen, and I just learned something new. Because I'm just used to people using Ossetru and heathen interchangeably.
Yeah, they're not, actually. They're two different things. It's like saying everybody that's a Christian is a Catholic. It's not the same.
Okay, I just learned something new, and I apologize to everyone I've offended.
I think most heathens understand that it's still, the terminology is still new. I know heathens today that are still learning all the different words. That's why I liked Mark Stinson's book, because he looked at it a practical way to look at the subculture, not to learn about the gods and goddesses as much, although he does teach about that some. He looks at it as more of a, here's what the roles are in kindred. Here's what kindred means.
I knew
it was a very
kindred was.
Informational book for me at the time.
Well, that's pretty cool. Is there anything else you wanted to go into about your workshop that you do? Or
it needs work. I need to re-edit it. It's been too long since I've redone it. But I'm hoping that everything that I had gathered up led to a general idea of how important Frigg and the Norns and Fate are and how that may work.
Well, that was a pretty cool, that was cool listening to you discuss that. That was really neat. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you.
So, if anyone wants to reach you, how can they reach you? And go ahead and plug your business again.
My business is Beloved Viking Vinyl, where I specialize in heathen, all true pagan things, but I can also do custom fine work. I've done it for businesses, just people asking me, hey, can you do this for me? Yeah, I can do that. So people can reach me through that, or they can reach me through the Troth. I'm the steward. The Troth is a heathen organization. Also, you can reach me at my Gmail, PORVEN. TRUE, the number one, at gmail.com.
Okay. And before I let you go, there is a question. Even though I don't have chat right now, I'm getting some private messages.
Okay.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
The feminine influence in heathen circles, is it getting better or worse?
And could you repeat that?
The feminine influence in heathen circles, is it getting better or worse?
I would have to say you've got to look in the right places. Whenever I started out, I was in a lot of heathen online groups whenever I started looking for other heathens. And that's not the best place because you run into a lot of brucetrew. A lot of people that are very masculine in their heathenry. I don't agree with that. It's not for me. It's for them. Whatever. I'm not going to stop them from doing what they do. But if you look in the right direction, if you ask around to other heathen women, you can find more of an influence. There's a great author who wrote a book called Sheathenry. And gods, I can't pronounce her name, but if I walk down my hallway, I can find her book. We have a section on our library just for heathen books. All right. Alvita Ingfraga, which I totally butchered the name. Alvillvirinfagra. And I'm trying to see who published this one. I don't know. You can Google it. I'm sure you'll find it. Sheathenry, Sheathenry. And her book is, I don't know if anyone's familiar with the word stitch and bitch, but it's very much like that. I love listening to it. I say listening to it because that's what it's like. It's like listening to a woman talking about it. There's another book that I would suggest reading if you want to know more about.
And Loki just sent me a link to the Amazon Loki just sent me a link to the Amazon page for that book, so I will also post that with the link on the Tree Life Hour or Tree Life Community Center Facebook page.
Very nice. Thank you.
And he liked the term brosature.
Well, I mean, it's just an easy way to describe very masculine type heathenry. And I cannot find the other book where I got a lot of my sources from. I may have loaned it out.
Okay, well, do you have any events that are coming up that people might want to attend?
I believe Faith has got a pub moot in Louisville coming up this weekend.
Yes, This Weird Road and Ravenfire Doll. I don't know if she's going to be able to be there or Ulf might. Not sure, but it is tomorrow night. I was just checking something real quick before I went to look at my event. I'm going to look it up.
I listen to the YouTube.
Well, I'm looking it up. Are you the one that won the book?
Yes. Yes, I am.
In case you all don't know, this is a giveaway.
I was playing them on my Bluetooth speaker while I was working, and it just kept playing, and I thought it was ended. And like 10 minutes later, they were like, oh, hey, you made it to the end of the video. I'm like, what? Oh, hey, look, I won a book. Boom.
But yes, the Louisville Heathen Pub Moot, well, they took pub out now because it's not at a pub, but the Heathen Moot, Louisville Heathen Moot, is at the Hibachi Sushi Buffet on Bardstown Road tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
It's hilarious that they picked that place. I mean, great food, don't get me wrong, great food, but a Heathen Moot at a Japanese restaurant.
Hey, that was pretty popular. Well, hey. All you can eat.
Yeah, that's that'll feed a bunch of heathens.
So, let's see. The next thing coming up is, even though it's not specifically pagan, there is a semicolon tattoo event here in Louisville, Kentucky, December 2nd at Prophecy Inc. on Baxter Avenue.
People may donate to my PayPal so I can get a new tattoo.
But it's for a semicolon tattoos for suicide awareness. They are doing like a certain cost for tattoos. I don't have it in front of me right now, but that is Saturday, December 2nd, starting at noon till midnight.
Why did they do the semicolon again?
Because it's like a pause, so the sentence hasn't ended. So it represents like you may have paused and thought about it, but you decided to go on in life.
Cool.
And then, I hate the new update on the Facebook app. I just want to throw that out there. I hate it. Because a second ago, it told me other stuff that I could mention. And now it's gone. So that's the only stuff I have. It's only going out to the 15th.
For more information.
Yeah, if you have any questions. And also, if you have any events that you'd like us to share on the radio, go to facebook.com/treeoflife, LOUKY. And please send us a message and let us know, because we would love to share your events on the radio so everyone else knows about them. It is not just the Louisville area. We also share them all over. We've shared California. We've shared Florida. So please. We always share Tennessee because we go there. But so please make sure to let us know about your event so we can share it on the air. So anything else you want to say before we let people go tonight?
Just with the holidays coming up, don't stress, people. I mean, seriously. I know in my family, I prefer handmade gifts over bought gifts. Because handmade means that you spent time thinking about me and wanting to make something. So if you're ever in a tight spot and you can't get that certain person something, just make them something. It doesn't even have to be perfect.
And I just want to tell everyone to have a blessed evening. And we will be at you next week, and Raven Fire should be back. And I'm trying to play a song, but
thank you for having me.
Board isn't cooperating. Oh, wait a minute. I got another event real quick. Gratitude Festival in Drum Circle, Saturday, November 18th at 3 p.m. at Neshoba Church, which is where? Hold on, I got to click on it. in Cordova, Tennessee. So, hey, I had something else to announce. Yay! Oh, see, Facebook works, but this silly thing isn't working. And I'm talking about the boards. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Okay. it wasn't going to work for me. All right. So I've got a song up now. Yay. All right.
Yay.
So I'm going to play Incubus. And I'm going to play, ooh, I've not heard, let's play one I haven't heard. I've not heard this, actually, City of the Dead. I don't think I've heard that one. So here's Incubus and City of the Dead, and thank you so much for coming on tonight, Amy. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and everyone have a blessed evening again, and we'll talk to you next week.